Morning, church. Absolute privilege for me to be sharing the gospel with us this morning. So I'm very expectant. Firstly, just my name is Jurik. I'm one of the elders serving on Rian's team. Rian was the gentleman that was just sending love to the congregation. And then I'm married to a beautiful wife sitting at the back here, Naya. I call her Naiki. Naiki. And of course, I've got three beautiful children, two girls and a boy. I just want to say welcome, Yaku and Simon, and little baby Ezra Joel, eh? There we go, Ezra Joel Bukas. That's it, eh? So lekker to have you guys with us. Okay, yeah, Jesus, thank you so much, Lord. You are the only true and living God. There is no other God beside you. And I want to thank you, God, that you set such an example for us, Lord God, as believers, Lord. And I want to pray, Lord Jesus, that today that no word will come out but the name of Jesus, Lord. That hope will be stirred within the hearts, Father God, that people will respond to you, Lord. Because you are alive, God, and you are right here among us, God. Name above all names, King over all kings, Lord over all lords, we declare you in this place this morning. As our God and Savior. Amen. I just love the song that we actually ended off with. You know, and we could hear as we were just lifting up the name of Jesus as, you know, all the glory, all the honor, all the power, all the praise belongs to you, Jesus. And then we know that it goes into the chorus as we go low, 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 you know. And it's a foreign concept to the world because in the world it's all about elevating yourself. So you have songs like, I'm elevating myself, and you have just, you know, the moment you hear elevating, be scared. Or elevation, be scared. Because that's not the way of the kingdom. And I want to say there's many, many religions. Uncle Dave spoke about the religion, universal religions. But there's only one God that was willing to get his hands dirty for us. There's only one God that was willing to take his proper dominion, come onto earth and go, I'm going to set an example to show all people that this is the way, this is the truth, and this is the life. All other gods require something. We have some gods where you'll kill for that God. You have some gods where you got to put your sacrifices at the altar. But this God, completely different. He just looks for a heart that will respond to him. He just looks for the broken and he looks for the weak. And my message this morning is, our God cares. Our God cares. The scripture I'm going to start with comes out of Peter and it says, 1 Peter 5, 6, 7. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And in the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you. Oh, Jesus. I think I want to start with like this. Just been chatting to some people and there is a lot of concerns in this world without a doubt. We look at our families, we look at what is happening in our work situations, we look at what is happening in the world, even just driving to church, chatting to my dad a little bit, sharing with me what is happening in this neighborhood, and it's so grieving. And it's so easy to forget that there's a God that cares about us. It's so easy to turn to everything else. I mean, it's natural for us, and I'm not saying we can't do these things. But we set up the biggest fences. We want to make sure that we've got the best security. We put in insurance policies. We do anything and everything to protect our loved ones. And we forget that there's a God that is way bigger than all of these things and that he cares for us. The one thing in chatting to people and what I find myself as well is that we know that God cares. But sometimes we feel, does he care about me? Sometimes I remember being in a community and I used to be like, I'm sure when my community leader prays that God hears his prayers a little bit more than mine. And then when I became a community leader, I said, I'm sure God hears my prayers, but I'm sure he hears the deacon's prayer a little bit more than mine. And when I became a deacon, I prayed and I said, I'm sure the elders, they hear God a little bit more than me. And there was always just this insignificant of, God, do you really hear my prayer? One of the ways we can weigh this out is when we ask for prayer, you know. Do you ask the person right next to you to pray for you? Do you yourself pray? Or is the first thing that comes to your mind, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Soon as I come to church on Sunday, I'm going to get one of the elders to pray for me. That, not saying it's wrong, but it could be like, do you believe that actually God hears your prayer too? That out of everything, his focus and his attention is on you. And so sometimes, even to this day, I still feel insignificant. And so it's been a rough season. I'm sure you guys heard testimonies and little stories about Anaya and I. But I think probably sometime in this year, it feels like the season changed. And we were like, woohoo, thank you, God. But you know, in the difficult times, there was a moment where I cried out to God. And I was just like, Lord, I really need to hear you. And this scripture came across. Psalm 113, verse 7. It says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And as I read that scripture, you know, many a times I've read it before and it feels almost like, okay, it seems like there's a picture of somebody in complete poverty, surrounded in dust and surrounded in ashen, you know. But actually, there's a complete different connotation to this. And then the Lord started speaking to me. And as I'm reading this, I'm just getting these things together. And for the youth, I'm sure you guys heard this because I shared a little bit over there by you. But I want you just to see the concept of this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. We're going back to creation now. It says, then God said, let us make man in our own image after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And the first thing I want to say is, out of all creation, so we know the story of creation, let there be light, and there was light, let there be day, and there was day, and then God created like all the creatures. And finally, out of everything, and this really stood out for me, is we come to verse 26, and it's the first time that God uses the Godhead. So if we're not going to go there now, but when you have time, read the whole of creation. It speaks the whole time, and God said, and God said, and God said. But when it comes to man, the creation of man, it's almost like he pauses out of everything, and he goes, Jesus, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our own image. And I go, wow, God, out of all creation, and you know this, there's not one creation that doesn't rebel against God, but human beings. And yet it's the only creation where he goes, let's make them in our own image. And I go like, you know, we find people worshiping whales and snails and just you mention all these things like, you know. And I go like, you're missing the picture out of everything that God created. He is so mindful of you and me that he'll make us in his own image. But here is even better news. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, I speaks about the creation of man. It says, then the Lord God formed man out of dust, out of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And we go, God, like out of all creation, you spoke this into being. But with man, God gets into the dust. And he dirties his hands and he begins to form human beings. And he looks at man and he goes, I am pleased with this. And I go like, God, how do we miss this? Right from the beginning of the Bible, God already displaying his amazing love towards man. What God do you know will put his hands into the sand and make something out of nothing and go, I am pleased with this. And I go like, your God, and I miss that you say that you care for this insignificant me. And my mind changed. And it didn't change to go, okay, God, I'm significant. I'm going, no, God, you care about the insignificant. And when you feel like, Lord, like, do people hear me, God? Am I seen? I feel like God goes like, you're missing the point. I see you. I know you. I made you. You walk into school and you're just like, I want to be part of the popular kids. And they reject you. Or these days, I believe, like, to be cool, you're not popular. I don't know how it works these days, but anyway. But the main thing about this is this. Here we see this God that has been, and the scripture says that before there was anything, God was. And you go like, God, like, man, you can, at a click of your fingers, at a word, you can destroy everything that you made. And yet the Bible says, for our sake, he is being patient. And I go like, God, like, how? There's no answer. There's no rule. There's no theology to try and explain God's love toward mankind. But I hope that you guys get the picture. And so there's two things that I just felt like, you know, as I'm listening to people, saved and unsaved, people in the world, people at church. It's like, you know, there's this anxiety, this worry, there's all these things that are happening. And so I'm going to start off just with the first one. Hopelessness. John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. You want to put that one on the board for us, please, Quentin? I was at the other day, and I must get me a new Bible or glasses, one of the two. Eventually, they caught on this guy struggling to read, and I was like, hey, guys, who want to be blessed? Who want to read the scripture over here? But it's because I couldn't see. Yeah, glory. As he passed by, he saw a man, a blind man, was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not this man that sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud, and he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and he washed and he came back seeing. And there's just three things that I want to bring out of this. Firstly, this guy was born blind, so obviously there's no hope for him. Now that's, I mean, not like you got cataracts or anything. Like, this guy was born blind. He's never seen anything. And so, the reality is sometimes I feel like in our lives, there's always that one area where you just feel like completely helpless. Always just, there's always something where you go, I've got no control over this thing. But I've got good news for you. Secondly, he never sinned. Now, the Bible is not saying he's not a sinner. They're just pointing that this area of blindness is not because of his sin. And the second thing I want to say, sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we don't have control. We're not sure what is going on. Like, God, like, you know, what's happening over here, Lord? Just to give some examples quickly. Our marriages. Some of us can be faithful spouses, and yet one of the other spouse can walk out of our lives. Some of us can raise up our kids in a godly manner, pray, worship with them, share the gospel, and yet they can wander and go on to drugs. Some of us can come into church being fired up for the Lord, loving God, and yet you can stay single for 15 years. I waited 15 years for my wife, by the way. People don't like to hear that story, especially the young adults. They're like, no, I don't want to get married when I'm 40. Anyways. And you go like, you know, God, like, I'm serving you so faithfully. Like, why can't you just send the one already? Some of us in our jobs and our finances, we're so faithful with our budgets. We do the best that we can and just business is not working out. But I want to say that is where we really become dependent on God. I want to say that just as in creation, it's beautiful that we continue to see the picture of Jesus. Stoops down, bends into the sand, spits his saliva, just like creation. Got into the sand, formed man, breathed into his nostrils. You see the same picture. Getting down into the sand, spitting his saliva, becomes so personal and touches the guy on his eyes. And I'm telling you, that guy became one of the best evangelists we'll ever know. The Pharisees tried to shut him up. He's like, listen, I don't care what you guys are going to do to me. I don't know what to say. He's like, just tell us what happened. And they're forcing him almost into a story that is not true. And he says, you know, eventually he just calms and he says, you know what? Whether you guys call him this or whether you guys call him that, all that I know is this. I once was blind, but now I can see. And you know, I want to say this, that hopeless situation that you find yourself to be, when the testimony of Jesus comes through, when you become dust and you just go, God, I actually give up on this. I don't know how to make my marriage better. I don't know how to bring my kids back into the home to serve you, God. I don't know how to get breakthrough into my workplace. What we're doing in that moment is we're becoming dust. We're becoming what we were always were. And we're just giving our dependence so completely to God. But I love that he comes and he meets us in that place. Because he cares for you. The second thing that I want to share on is sin. How does God deal with this according to our sin? And I know that with sin comes a lot of shame. That's the reality. We all, I wish I could have said that I, you know, like Wilma Ray used to say, sleep with the angels and glow in the dark. But I know that none of us are apart from sin. And so I want to read a story, another one, also in John. So you don't even have to turn your pages, probably on the same thing. John chapter 8. And I'm going to read from verses 1 to 11, and it says this. They went each to his own house. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him and sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And placing her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. So what do you say? This they said to him to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the sand. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, Let him who was without sin be the first among you to throw a stone at her. Once more he bent down and wrote in the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. And Jesus was left alone with the woman. Standing before him, Jesus stood up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And she said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And you look at this picture and, I mean, these Pharisees really thought, now we've got this. I mean, obviously, they were like the righteous ones. You know, we're living according to God's law. And in this space, they've got like, there's no other way out of this. Like, finally, we're going to see Jesus stand up according to the law. But don't we see this beautiful picture again? Again, Jesus reveals himself. And so even in our sin, Jesus goes and he stoops down again. And he writes again in the sand. And you know, a lot of people focus on what was written. Maybe they were writing down the people that were standing with stones. Like, actually, that lady was with you and with you and with you as well. And, you know. But I want to take the attention away from that. And I want to say all that he did was point back to dust. And it's almost like he was telling them, okay, this is who I am. This is actually who you are. And so if you're without sin, then please, by all means, cast that first stone. I want to say God never responds to us according to what we deserve. Because if he did respond to us according to what we deserve, then none of us would have been walking in what God gives us. Absolutely. I think, honestly, there's so many areas that I can speak about where I've failed God. And it's just been miracle after miracle, just seeing God's goodness. I think sometimes we forget about it and we need to actually take moments in our lives where we go, wow, God, I remember that day when you came through for me. I remember as a young man struggling with lust for a long time, like a long time, just thinking like, God, how am I ever going to break free from this? And just popped up all the time in different areas. It wasn't porn, it's ladies, not ladies. It's just, you know, like, God, how am I ever going to break through? But I knew that what I was doing wasn't pleasing to God because I was serving the Lord at the time. And I thought, like, God, like, how am I ever going to get out of this? And I remember just going to Wilmarie at the time and just saying, like, listen, I don't know how to overcome this. And then he shared a story out of wisdom. He said to me, you know, there was a guy that also struggled with the same thing for many, many years. But then he presented it before the Lord and he said to God, like, actually, Lord, if you don't take this sin away from me, because there's a big possibility that I could lose my salvation, then, man, take me away overnight. And as he said these words, I remember telling him, yes, pray for me. Let's pray that if I can't overcome this, that the Lord will come and fetch me tonight. And he went, no, no, no. I went, yes, yes, yes. I'm so tired of failing God. I'm so tired of, man, just breaking things open that was not pleasing to God. I know you guys heard the story, but I had such good community leaders and I was seeing this girl and we were sleeping together and she knew that I was serving the Lord and the Lord had convicted me about the relationship. And I'm thinking like, man, because sin is pleasurable, right? It's like just so hard to walk away from this. And coming to community, and I remember just walking one day into Lorenza, Auntie Lorenza's house because she and my mom, they were the first people that were discipling me. And as I came in, I was like, hi, Auntie Lorraine. And the first thing she just looked at me, she says, you're looking like an old roll. I'm like, yo, for real, bro. Actually, what you are saying is I can identify sin in you. And I was like, I couldn't hide that thing away, eh? And I was like, what do you mean I'm looking like an old roll? Maybe it's just a color thing. I don't know, guys. But for you other people, an old roll means you're not looking the way you normally look. And I walked away and I knew that the Lord was speaking. And then I said, okay, God, I'm going to cut this thing. But it's so hard to cut sin, guys. But there was this part of me, it's either I'm going to be with the Lord or I'm going to be with the sin. Either I'm going to be with the Lord or I'm going to be with sin. And so when Will Marie shared that with me, I was like, I'm praying this thing. And you know what? That night, God actually gave me a dream. And in the dream, like I was being beaten, just like my face, like it was clearly the enemy that was beating me. And just when my head was about that far from the ground, because it would have been smashed if he had to give me one more hit, it's like just the solid face just came over me and it felt like it just crushed the enemy's hand. And it was like the Lord told me, because you were so desperate to become free from the sin, I'm going to free you. And the next day I woke up and I was just like, that's it. I'm going to phone this girl now. And you can never break up with a girl in a nice way. I bought food and said, listen, we can't see one another anymore. But I think that was also nice where the Lord really clearing that line, like we're never going back there, because she was just like, this guy breaks up me over a meal. Sounds funny, guys, but the true story is, like, if I had to die any time between that day and that day, I don't know if I can say confidently that I would have been with the Lord. Because the Bible makes it very clear. Nobody who is sexually immoral, nobody who is a thief, nobody who is, Uncle Dave will tell you the rest of the scripture, but honestly, it's like there's this weight of God where he goes, because the reality is he made a way for us. So it's not like we have an excuse, but I think sometimes we need to come to the end of ourselves where we go, Lord, like, I'm willing to let this thing go. And you know what? That's maybe an extreme case. But disobedience is also sin. And so unforgiveness, hovering on that thing, I'm so offended, like that offense can steal your inheritance from God. Everything else as well is just like, God, whatever the Lord is saying to you, just want you to consider for a moment, what has God been convicting you of lately? And I want to say, until you actually work through that thing, there's a big chance that you can lose your inheritance, but that's not his heart. Psalm 103, verse 10 to 14. Says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And so the many times that I actually deserved God's judgment, it's like, I'm not going to deal with you according to the way you think I'm supposed to be dealing with you. And so when I got that picture of just that iron mask coming over me, that was God's grace, eh? That was God going like, I know that every day you come to me and you say sorry and then you go back and you do the same thing and then you say sorry and you go back. But there was a part in my heart where I go like, God, like that, I'm done. Like, I actually am so desperate for your help. And that's when the breakthrough of God comes through. And I want to say to you today, that condemnation, that heaviness, that shame, like Jesus died for that. What the enemy does is when we sin, he separates us. Isn't it crazy? The one thing that keeps us close and sin, it's like you're so shameful that you don't even know how to connect with people. You don't know how to come back to God. You don't know where to start. But there's just so many examples of the goodness of God and how people in their desperation run to the Lord. This lady caught in adultery, the woman that broke the vase over Jesus' feet. It's like, the soul is so entwined within them, but yet they called out to the name of the Lord. I want to say, guys, if you're over here today and you feel like, Lord, like, I don't know if you'll accept me for what I've done. I don't know, you know, people might not know the deepest, darkest secret, but the Lord sees everything. But I want to give you an assurance today that he cares about you, that he knows what you're facing, and his heart is that you won't lose to the sin, but that you will find victory. Amen. You know, as I was reading that scripture, my heart almost just pounded, thinking about the goodness of God and how he'd stoop down, put his hands again into the sand. And there was this part of me that as I read it, it's like, I can identify with this lady. And as I was reading it, the Lord said, can you identify with the people with the stones in their hand? And I was like, what? And so I want to just share with us very bluntly. I'm actually coming to the end of my, what I believe the Lord wants us to share. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. It says, there's no one that is righteous. There's not one. No one understands and no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good. Not even one. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And as I read that, it was almost refreshing to me that actually I'm both sides. I'm the adulterer, but I'm also the one that wants to judge. The Bible makes it very clear that nobody is without sin. And you know what is crazy, especially for us as believers, we almost feel like we become different levels. I'm like, okay, I'm not sleeping with anyone anymore. I'm not that bad anymore. I'm a little bit of a gooder Christian. Better Christian. Now we move to the next level and we go like, and I even raise my hands in church these days. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then we slowly start to find ourselves on the other end, you know, when something bad happens to us and it's like, woe is me, I'm that. But actually, we're the people with the stones in our hands all the time. And the Bible makes it very clear, the only hope that we have is Jesus. Last night, I went to go and cut my birthday haircut. I went into the barber, I said, it's my birthday, hoping they're going to say, now you can have this one in the house. I'm joking, I didn't do that. It's a Muslim barber. Can see they put the kufiya on my head and they cut around there. Anyway, and as I was sitting over there, I was just thinking like, you know, yeah, I'm sitting in my area, so sometimes I like to go back to Kensington, not like, you know, where the Lord says turn around and otherwise you can turn to salt. It's just like sometimes it's good to remember, you know. And I was in Kensington and I was sitting over there and I'm just listening to the drama outside and I was like, wow, I remember this. But then I just started crying and I'm sure the barber was like, what's going on here? But not like snorting around, it's just like tears, you know. And I remember and I just phoned Cameron, because he's renting my mom them's place. And I said, Cameron, please, bro, can I come and pop around over there by you? And he said, yeah, sure. And I'm sure he's thinking like, hey, Yurik's in the area. So I come around over there and I'm like, how are you doing? And the next thing I say, Cameron, I know this is going to sound weird, but can I please go into that corner room over there? And he's like, yeah. I said, the reason why is because while I was sitting at the barber, the Lord reminded me the day of my salvation. And I remember that day I came home from a club, said goodbye to all my friends there. They're sitting at the back over there. And just shaking their hand. That guy particularly in the middle, he remembers. I had a helmet on my head. I was drugged up. And as he came past me, I used to be the joker. And he saw me and I grabbed his hand and he lifted up the vise and he's like, Yules. Well, they didn't call me Yules. It was Yuras. Yuras, what's up, bro? And I was like, bro, nobody loves me. And he was like, yo, what's happening with this guy? And obviously, my reason for taking drugs was I was in a very long relationship and I was super hot. I didn't know how to deal with it. But as he said that, he was like, yo, Yurik, I don't know you like that. And week after week, just this emptiness. Nobody can fill it. Nothing. Drugs, clubs, just nothing, eh? And I remember coming home and getting out of that car and shaking the guy's hands with a smile on my face. Cheers, guys. Cheers. See you in the morning. Walking into my house and then just bursting out crying. Just going like, I don't know how to handle life anymore. And I went into that room last night. And I remember my bed was even placed that way. And I just lied on my bed over there and I said, God, if you are real, if you really are real, the way my mom's been talking about me, about you, I need to know that you can save me. And there was that little table with the Bible that we hid underneath, took it out, opened it up, and the scripture just starts, it is me, Peter. Get out the boat. And just be like, oh God, you'd hear me. You'd hear me. You heard my cry. You knew that I didn't know how to save myself. You knew that I didn't know how to get out of that space where I said, nobody loves me. I'm feeling so empty. And God reached out to me that day. 22 years later, he's still holding me. And I want to say, what about you, man? You know, it took me a bold step. Like, I knew, like, my friends are probably going to think I'm so weird. Like, yeah, I'm DMX and now I'm a Yurik, saved one. But I knew that the Lord was saying, Yurik, you take that first step. And I'll make sure all your other friends come to me. And a few of them has given their lives to the Lord. Some of them are still walking with him. And I look and I go like, there's so many things going on. But we serve a God that cares about us. I just want to call the worship team maybe. I want to conclude with this. You know that part that I read, nobody's righteous, all have sinned. Romans 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift is through Jesus Christ. And I want to say this, I want to conclude with this, that not only did Jesus dirty his hands for us, but actually the Bible speaks in Hebrews 2 and Philippians 2, we don't even have to turn there. It says that he humbled himself so much that in the decision of God going, how can we save humanity? He says to the Father, I will take their place. And the Bible says that he becomes dust for us, acquainted with all our ways. That there's not one person that can sit before the Lord and say, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how I'm struggling. You don't know how I can overcome this. And actually, the Bible says that, man, he was, not only did he do it, but he was willing to do it. Willing to do it, like become dust, like so much so that he even calls us my brothers. How crazy is that? Without sin. And the Bible says that he endured it to the point of death. Death on a cross. The Bible says that he was beaten beyond human recognition. So he goes lower than dust. He goes, I'm going to be beaten so much that when people walk past the cross, they'll see the two thieves, but they won't even be able to identify who's the person in the middle. It almost looked like there was a roadkill on the middle of that crosses over there. And yet in the midst of all of that, he goes, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they do. And I want to say, the biggest obstacle that we had is not foreign gods. The biggest obstacle that I had was being God. I wanted to control my life. I negotiated with the Lord and said, when I'm 21 and then I'll give my life to you because I've got some other plans before that. And all of us are like that. We take control. We want to make plans. We want to do things our way. But actually, God is pointing us back to the way it was originally, but even better. There was no you and me. There was only dust. But it was in the dust that Jesus was able to reach down and breathe life again. And so just while you're hearing me, I want to ask us to be bold for a moment. I want us to close our eyes. And I want to say that the gospel this morning has been presented. All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of our sin is death. But Jesus made a way for us. And just while our eyes are closed, I want to ask you, if you know that the Lord's been tapping on your heart this morning, don't let the fear of what others think hold you back. But this morning, the Lord is inviting you. And He's going, my son, my daughter, I know exactly where you're at, and you can't help yourself. You're not going to be able to rescue yourself. You need me. But I want you to know today that I care about you. And I want to ask, if that is you this morning and you're just feeling that prompt, man, you can leave this place and you can return back to dust, or you can respond to the Lord and allow the Lord to raise you out of that dust and out of that ash heap and secure your soul. And so if that is you this morning, you feel the Lord tapping on your heart, can I ask, with everybody's eyes closed, you feeling that beating on your heart, just give me some sort of indication and just say, that's me. That's me, Yurik. Will you pray for me? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. I believe there's more. There's more of us. You know, you can leave over here and you can pretend as though everything is okay, but actually the Lord's been tugging on your heart, tugging on your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. See that young man over there. Those guys that raised up their hands, can you just keep your hands up? Everybody's eyes will stay closed. And then I want to ask this. If this is the first time ever that you're responding to Jesus, so it's not that we're going to pray for those that are sensing the Lord doing something, but I want to ask if this is the very first time that you're responding to Jesus. Can everybody just put their hands down quickly again? Sorry. If this is the very first time you're responding to Jesus, can I ask you to raise up your hand, please? The very first time that you're responding to the Lord. Then those guys who had their hands up, can I ask you guys to come to the front, please? We'd love to pray with you guys. And if there's something that stood out while I was sharing, you feel like the Lord's been speaking to you, can I also ask those guys to come to the front? Don't leave over here. You know, I had my moment where people could identify there was sin in my life and I responded to the Lord. And today I'm still serving Him, but I believe that He's got something for you as well. And so, just with our eyes closed again, I'm just going to put this call one more time out. If you feel a tug on your heart, please, you're not responding to me. You're responding to the Lord.
Just before He gives the final call, we had a lot of words in worship about that invitation. And Cameron brought the last one.